pay tzadik vava min aleph. Oh, you have a lot of tzadik vava min aleph.
Okay.
Can't win them all.
They have the gray line.
I'll drive it. You'll be able to help us with the tight words on some of these psukim. I think they're hard. Anyways, the
part.
The Gemara says, Amar Reb Zeira, the second medium word line. Okay? Amar Reb Zeira. Avagav, the Shalach, Reb Yehuda ben Bezeira, Menitzivim. Avagav, the Shalach, Reb Yehuda ben Bezeira, Menitzivim. Even though Reb Yehuda ben Bezeira sent from where he lived in Nitzivim, these dinim, yeah, were on Peitag Vavam and Aleph, right over. So, Avagav, the Shalach of Yehudim and Meseir Benetzivim, Huziru Bezoke. You have to be careful with a Zoke and Sheshachach Tamude Machmas Oinza. And he forgot his Torah Machmas Oinza. He threw it like that. Okay? No. On page. Here. Even though you gotta be, he says, you have to be careful with a zokeh who forgot his Torah because of his oinus, because he's old and he forgot. But who will be reading Kriv Yehuda? Because machloek is when you shech the bird. How do you do it? If it has to be through the esophagus, if it has to be through the windpipe, if it has to be through the blood vessels. So there's a machloek is over there in the Gemara in Chulon. And he says you have to be zoreh for the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, that it has to go through the blood vessels too, reading on the blood vessels. And you should be careful with the children of Ami Aretz, the children that came from, whose parents were Ami Aretzim, Shemayen Teitzei Torah, because from these people come out Torah. But even though he said all of this, okay, again, Avagav the Shalach of Yehuda Meseri this, still, Kihon Milsa Medinalu, but this thing I will say. Okay, in other words, he's going to tell us now, this is a preface. We want to understand, the Gemara is trying to understand. Yirmiyah was questioning, was asking from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how is it that Nebuchadnezzar could be so successful against the Yidden? Such a Russia. What could he do? What could he have done that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be giving him such success? Yeah? So that's what the Gemara is going to now try to do. Okay? These psukim and Yirmiyah are like this.
Why does it have to be that because of something good?
What do you mean?
Like, for all the Rishonim in the world, it has to. They're only like Ahmadinejad, right? He did some mitzvah or something.
So let's understand what happened. Well, from this Gemara, we're going to see that someone who attains covet, wealth, there's a sheba why it's happening. There's a reason why.
Is it clear?
What?
He's being used.
He's being used, but why he was zecher to be being used, there's something there. We'll see in Nebuchadnezzar there was a specific reason why. Why he was there. You know, he ruled over the world. This example you used, I don't think he's getting anything, but
or he's come back the clock 70 years.
Right. No, I don't know that he... Again, he was at war, but Lav Dafka, he had anything compared to what Nebuchadnezzar had. His own people... Yeah, powerful is not what we're talking about over here. We're talking about the riches, we're talking about the glory, we're talking about, I don't know that...
ruling the world.
Right? Yeah. There was a certain success, a certain matzav that he had. So we'll have to figure out how that applies to other situations. But let's see how the Gemara deals with this case. Kiyot Milsa Medinalu, Tzadik Ato Hashem, Hashem, you would win. Ki Oriv Elecha. If I would like fight with you, if I would argue with you, Ach Mishpatim Adaber Ischa. But I'm still going to ask you this question. In other words, Yumi is prefacing by saying, I really have no shakas to be asking this, but I'm going to ask it anyways. Madua derech Hashem tzolcha shaloi kolboi de bogad. Why is it that the Rishon are so successful that they blossom, even the ones that betray, even the bad ones? Netatem gam shiroshu, and they take root. You plant them and they take root. Yelchu gam osu peri, and they give off fruit. Why is it that you sometimes see bad people being very successful? This is a question that Yirmiyahu was posing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Maya Adulay, what did they answer from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What was the answer?
Isn't that basically Sadak to Russian Vitovlo?
Basically, that was his prayer. He wanted to understand.
It's been asked already, you know, like,
he wanted to understand the ways of Hashem, basically. That's what he wanted to try to do. In the answer, the Gemara is going to explain how he can't understand the ways of Hashem, but there's a limit for it. There's a limit that we're going to take from it. But the question was, can you explain to me the ways, your ways that you deal? So, Maya Adulay, a few psukim later, we see the answer. Kesher Glayim Ratzata V'yalucha. If you'd run after a runner, you'd be tired. In other words, you wouldn't be able to keep up. It would exhaust you. Ve'ech tesachar es asusim. So how could you run after horses? Uva'oret sholim atar b'teach. Ve'ech tase b'goyin ha'yardein. If you own homeland where you have security, you can be wiped out and be driven away from. So how could you go into the going a yard day? How could you try to understand a place where you aren't secure, where you don't dwell? Marshal, it's a marshal of Adam Echad. Sha'amar, it's a marshal to a person that said, Yachla ani yoritz gimel parses. I can run 3 parses. It's a certain amount of space. If ne'a susim, in front of horses, bein bitzi mayim, even if it would be swampy, I'd be able to run. The guy makes a proclamation, I could run ahead of the horses, I wouldn't tire. And he sees a guy running, a regular person, a human. He runs in front of him 3 milim on dry land, vanilla, and he gets exhausted. Amalei, so people say to him, if in front of a regular person, you get exhausted. In front of horses, you definitely would run out of steam. Uma shloishes milin. This is only 3 milin. Kachim of barsois. Can you imagine if you had to run even further, how much more exhausted you would be? Alachas kama v'kama. Uma biyabasha kach. Madach in dry land, you got so exhausted. So bein bat bitzi amayim alachas kama v'kama, where it's swampy. Sure. This is the marshal that a person brags that he could accomplish something, and then something a lot less challenging comes up and he can't handle it. So definitely he wouldn't have been able to handle something much more challenging. So Avata, you too. This is what they're saying to Yirmiyahu. Madach, the reward of the 4 steps that Nebuchadnezzar took. Sheshilamti lo yisirasha. Sherotz acha kvoidi, he ran after my covet. When he went to give something to Chizkiah, we'll see, tomorrow we'll explain what the 4 steps were later on. Ata, to me, are you wondering, how could it be, kishani mishalim shchar lavar mitzvah yakev, sherotz lovnei ksusim, lefonai ksusim, they run in front of me like susim. Alach eskar v'kamo. Hainu dixiv lanaviyam nizbar libi v'kirbi. Rachavu kots meisei. My bones are shaking. Yisi ki ish sachar. Who could give over yayim ne Hashem. Om ne divir kotcha. So we see an interesting thing. That what they said was, is you don't really begin to. The literal pshat is, the Gemara says the pshat that they answered, that look, you can't even understand how Nebuchadnezzar can get the sky for 4 steps, so, and you think you're going to be able to understand what the schar would be in Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, which is much, you're just not able to understand. The literal translation of this was that they told him, you don't understand regular people without Hashem telling you. There were people that tried to kill you, Mia, and he found out because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not because he knew. So a regular person, you can't, so susim, which is referred to like by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're like considered like the sus, the much more powerful entity. You're definitely not going to be able to do. It's a muscle to say that you can't understand regular, simple things. How do you even think that you could understand the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So you're going to ask a question. Isn't it not nice to be Madame HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Susan? To a horse? Alright, but it's an interesting ha'orah to Ben Yehuda to ask this kasha. In the marshal, you're making Hashem the horse. That's not very derech eretz stick. U'masha dimes ha'ovois v'ritzas ha'maritzas ha'susim v'lidim ha'oisam v'ritzas tzorim. When we're dealing with the ovois, remember, when we're dealing with Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov in the Mashal, but in the literal translation, it's really referring to Hashem. Why are we using the Lashon of Susim instead of something like a Tzvi or an Ayol? Use a different, a ram or a deer that can run fast. You're using a horse. Why? A horse is not known for its speed compared to a deer.
And but it was
the
faster.
But the other rat, what?
You go to a Roosevelt racetrack, you see the horse and not the
deer. Yeah, but that three car lower, it's Jason and that's the tree can keep going and going and going and going and going. Hours. Sure, trees are. Rats
can
see. Yeah, from the fastest runners. When they get galloping, you don't see them in the forest, you see them juggle. If they really get moving, they just keep going. They're powerful. That's why if a car ever hits a deer, the deer gets up and walks away and the car gets towed away. That's the truth. It's the mitzvahs like that. So it's something interesting to note that...
It's okay to think of the Yad Hashem. That's okay?
What do you mean?
There's any metaphor for the...
Oh, so let's see. So the Ben Yehuda explains, Nira Li, besides the Dima Oysel Susim, why do we use Susim? The Nesha Yeshbem Dova Acher. There's one other thing that they have that other animals don't have. Who the aimless Sushina Gamura. They don't really sleep. They don't sleep. Horses don't sleep. They don't really sleep. They stand up and they're spaced out, but they don't sleep. Okay, that's what happens. Yeah. They're not sleeping. And that's what we want to say over here, that Kachem Avoidis Abore Lo Yitnu Shina Leinam. The work of Hashem doesn't sleep, doesn't stop. And that's what David HaMelech says in Tillim. Em etein shenas l'einai l'afapai tenuma atim t'mokim l'Hashem. In other words, hinei l'yonav l'yishin shayim yisrael. The avodas Hashem never stops. 24/7, 365. So mainly we're using this mashal. And we're explaining that l'maisi, you can't come to a real understanding. You're not going to come to a real understanding. Now, before we go back to discuss the Dalet Psiyos, let's back up a little bit and try to understand the Gemara of the Gemara with the Talmidei Chachamim over here. Shemehem Teitzei Torah. If you look at the Rashi, who's the Ruben Bnei Ami Ha'oretz? So the bottom Rashi on the right side, because in this Gemara is Rashi on both sides. So the bottom Rashi, Shenasu Talmidei Chachamim Lasu Yisrael Kavoid Shemehem Teitzei Torah LiYisrael. From them comes out Torah. Sharei Yotzu Shmaya VaAvtalion Mimnei Bonav Sancheiriv. Shmaya and Avtalion, who taught Torah to the tremendous amount of people, were from the great grandchildren of Sancheiriv. Ubnei Bonav Shel Haman Lamdu Torah Bnei Brak. And Haman's great grandchildren sat in Torah Bnei Brak. That's an amazing, it's an amazing statement. There must have been something what are you doing over here? You're telling, says Amr Reb Zeira, Abraham the Shalach, Reb Yudah Ben Maseir, and Sivim, Hozeru? You be careful of these things. You still have to let them know that there must have been, just like over here, Nebuchadnezzar did something to be zechah to such wealth, such strength, such sovereignty over so many nations. So too, you tell these people, I have to have cover for you because you're a Talmid Chacham. But you have to realize, even though your parents are Amoratzim, they must have did something good to be zeichah to have this. That you should be Marbitz Torah, that you should be a Talmid Chacham. That means you don't point out something that's going to make someone feel bad. You're not looking to make fun of them, be mevazeh them, to say, yeah, your parents are Amoratzim. But you are pointing out to let them know that they can't have a flippant attitude towards their parents who are Amoratzim. It's their parents that created whatever they did, a schus, that they should be able to have what they have. That's the amazing part over here. And that's why it's important that they should know this. So at one point, you're not looking to tell them where they came from and all of that stuff, because that's really a busha. But yet, you do, says Rabbi Yehuda Maseir, need to mention to them that you just can't be flippant about the way your parents were, just because they're maybe Amoratzim, they don't learn that much, and they don't know how to learn. If you have what you have, and it's in Abbasis HaTaira, and the Talmid HaChachamim, so then it's something good that the parents and the grandparents or someone did along the line. Something good. And it's that's shot with Nebuchadnezzar. That's what the Gemara is coming to say. That why? Yirmi wanted to know. How could he get it? And in telling Yirmi that there's no way he could understand it, Hashem said to Shaila, he went out of four steps from my covenant. That's an amazing thing. He was zeichet to a lot. The Gemara is going to end up saying at the end that if not for that Gavriel came and stopped them from walking further, we never would have recovered. Because he would have been such a big reward would have been coming to him that we never could have overcame that reward. That's a scary thought that needs a lot of fear to understand it. But Lamaisa, we see from here, no good deed goes unnoticed.
Why is downfall part of his reward?
No, his reward was that he accomplished gaining land and he notoriety and strength and power and covet. It was at our expense. No, we did our favors. We did our favors. That's what we were. We had the basically was destroyed. But he was zecha to get the loot and everything because of something good that he did, and that's what the Gemara here is coming to point out.
It was part of our downfall because he earned the right to get his desire from doing those four steps, or because the only way to reward somebody who takes four steps to cover the Kodesh Baruch Hu is to take it away from Israel.
I don't know, because maybe he could have gotten it from elsewhere. So you have to have that we did our various. If we didn't do our various, he wouldn't have been able to overcome us anyhow. If we didn't do our various, he wouldn't be able to overcome us. We obviously did. The first base of Mingdash was because of the Gimel Averis Chaburis. The second base of Mingdash was destroyed because of Shinashchina. So we did things that created that we were vulnerable. How do you think Haman was able to break through? Because he said, we'll talk about that next week and the week after. Now we're in Adar, so we have to talk a little bit about Purim and Megillah. And maybe we'll deviate off the page a little, but if we can, we'll try to keep covering the ground. We'll see if we can plug it in, plug Purim into the Gemara. But Lamaisa, Haman was able to break through for one reason, because Mefuza Mefoyer Ben Am. If there would have been Achdus, there's no way Haman would have been able to get anything done. Achdus is such an amazing thing. When Klal Yisrael is one, and they're getting along, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching our backs. When anyways we're not getting along, so Hashem says, okay, I'll send them a message. That's why it's so important to keep that in mind.
The Rebbe spoke last week about people having kiddush in New York for Matzav with Iran.
Right. So, it was this week. It was Monday night.
Okay.
Monday afternoon, President's Day, whatever.
Right. I think it was one last. Okay, fine.
What?
It was President's Day.
Monday.
We don't hear about this.
Order someone from the yeshiva, from the Nisro, for the books and stuff, and the Board of Education sat was down because everybody was closed.
Go on.
I didn't hear.
No, my wife had to order for yeshiva from the Board of Education website, and the sites are down when there's no school days. Whatever. She's the bookkeeper for my yeshiva in New York, so she had to make different orders and stuff, and she wasn't able to get it, log on because on the legal holidays and weekends, they're closed.
Yeah. I was wondering why there was a keenness on a Monday afternoon.
There you go.
It's not Monday afternoon.
See that?
I guess there's no reason.
$6 million question. You just got it. Anyway, so I wanted to just share with you an interesting thing, an anecdote. It has to do with this a little bit. And it's going to look like I'm doing it just because of the rabbi here. I'm not. Hashem sends different things, so I don't mean anything. So I'm not talking to you, I'm just talking to us, and you might get a very, very interesting chizik from this, just for the record. But what was Avraham Avinu so cherished by HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why? Where do you find that Hashem says he loved somebody? He adoptive, the man Hashayitzaves, Bonaves, Beisay Acharav. He adoptive, Rashi says, is a lashon of chiba, of intimate.
He knew.
What?
He knew he would do it.
Because he was going to perpetuate what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. He adoptive, the man Hashayitzaves, Bonaves, Beisay Acharav. Shomru derech Hashem, to watch the ways of Hashem. Lasses, tzedakah, mishpat. The man Hovi Hashem al Avram, is a shedir alav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, because of this, I'm going to go destroy Sodom, and I shouldn't tell Avram. I can't do anything without getting clearance from Avram, so to speak. I have to run it by Avram first. Where do you find that? In any place else?
Moshe Rabbeinu.
Yeah, what happened to Moshe Rabbeinu? Hashem went...
I'm going to wipe him out. She said, no, you're not.
No, that's not...
He said,
no! Wait, he wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to take them out of Mitzrayim. Do you find anywhere where it refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship with Avraham ki yadativ? It's something only written by Avraham Avinu.
That's true.
Okay,
that
is a special intimate love. And that's because it was his purpose was, I'm going to make sure that the children, grandchildren, everybody knows about Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu's job was to be the leader of Klal Yisrael and be the nation of Torah to Klal Yisrael because of his tremendous anova, tremendous kaiches in being nation of Olam Chaveri Vayarbis of Loisam. He qualified by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He passed all the tests. He took care of the sheep by Yisrael. Carried the sheep back so that they could be right a sheep like this, that you could be right in them and be Yisrael, to be a good shepherd of my nation, Klal Yisrael. And Lamaisa, what happened? How did Avraham Avinu? Avraham Avinu was Moshe Nefesh at his own expense, that the next generation would have Yedia, cognizant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He didn't just sit in the corner and learn. He went out and he gave over. And he gave over and he gave over. Tremendous kirchas. So he brings that over here. There was a rav of a certain city. And he came to Yitzchak Zilberstein, a rav of a town. He had an interesting shiloh, a story that happened. Says he gives a shear at night time, and people balabatim come to the shear. People that work during the day, they do different things, and they come to the shear. Yeah, you can listen to the story. So he knows it. I'm talking to him. And the Rav said, it's a funny thing, because the guy comes, there's one guy in the shir comes, and when he gets to the shir, he dozes off. Comes out. And he works all day. And while he's working, he has a conk out, he's busy working. But he's so tired, he's so exhausted from his whole day, that when he finally gets to the shir and he sits down like this, after a few minutes, head goes down, and then at the closing remarks, at the end of the shir, right before Meyer, they wake up. And he told the Rav, you know, the Rav said, what are you doing? He said, look, I'm exhausted. So I do the best I can. I'm here, and then I doze off, and I wake up for the end. So the Rav said that I once asked him like this, why don't you do something else? Why don't you come in the morning before you go to work, learn when you just woke up? And this way, you won't fall asleep. You'll learn something. At nighttime, you sleep until half the shir, so you're missing half of the Gemara. So come in the morning instead. So he said over, so he said back to him, he said, Adoni Harav, this Baal Bas said back to the Rav, and he said to him, no, you're not understanding. Ani Nelat, the whole day I'm busy with Parnassa. I'm running around to try to make ends meet so I can pay the bills. I watch up, I like, what I'm doing? Pay kids' tuitions, my clothing for the kids, food for the table. I gotta. And you're right, it's true. I show up at shir every night, like clockwork, and as soon as the rabbi starts speaking, I get a nap. You're right. And I'm not getting much from this year. I'm losing out a lot. I'm missing out a lot of Gemaras. I'm missing out a lot of the Halachas. I'm missing out a lot. However, he turns to the Rav and he says, you should know, but Surazu, in this Surah, in this state of mind, state of exhaustion, Hayaladim ro'im oti, my children see me. Kishani yoytzim ha-gamorah v'hilch lima. Comes 8 o'clock at night, 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. Children are still up at home. They're doing work, schoolwork, whatever they're doing. And we as Abba, he's getting his Gemorah. Now he just walked in at 6 o'clock from work. He barely had a chance to sit and eat, and he had to take care of the family affairs. And now he's getting his Gemara, gathering up his strength. It's clear all over his face that he's exhausted. Beyond description. And the children see him walking out to go to that Seder. Umeschankin the Messiah's Nefesh L'Torah. And they're getting taught that I have to be Moshe Nefesh L'Torah. So yeah, it's true, I'm exhausted. But they understand that even though you're exhausted, it's not an excuse not to go to shir. But if I'm going to come in the morning, my children are still going to be sound asleep when I leave. They're not going to know that I ever went. And if I'm going to be home at night because I'm tired, so they're going to see, oh, I was tired, he doesn't go to learn. The whole concept of Mashiach's Nevesh for going to learn, it's going to be something that's in the dreamland. It's not going to be real to the children. What do I tell them? Who lil might or benay lil might? It's a Gemara Kedushin.
Tell them what he learned.
What do you do?
You can tell them what he learned.
What?
You can tell them what the shiur was about.
But he can't. He fell asleep.
Not in the morning.
No, but he's not going in the morning.
If he goes in the morning, the kids won't see him, but they'll be able to tell him what they
Yeah, want. But the seeing, ain't it time or shmila ria? I mean, if they see, you know, look, I know myself tonight. I'll tell you what happened. I was on the phone with a travel insurance guy. I've been working for the better part of the year that I'm here to, without convincing and without encouraging, and without being a pressure, through hints, they try to get my parents to come visit. It's a big job. They're not so well physically. they're not young. There are a lot of medical things, and my mother's gonna have anxiety attacks over the airplane. She does. She is. She's already panicking, thinking about it, and she can't deal with it. But and therefore, I can pressure them. But my kids, every time they write a letter, three times a day, oh, can't wait to see you, Bubby. Can't wait to see you, Sava, Sava. And it slowly wore them down, Baruch Hashem. They're finally contemplating coming for Pesach. They're contemplating. So I've been usik to try to get them tickets. Now, I also give shia on Wednesdays, my busy day. So I give shia in Beis Yaakov in the morning and a shia in the afternoon in the Beis Yaakov, and I have chavrusas in the morning and the afternoon, and I go with a kid in the evening. Wednesday is my busy day. But my side, I'm enjoying it. I'm teaching, I'm learning. And I came home tonight and I'm barely trying to eat and the phone's ringing and I have to, my parents are not going to go unless I could show them an insurance plan, medical, that they can have, even though they have all the different medical issues that and whatever, because they're now 9:05, I'm still on the phone with this lady in Manhattan. I'm trying to allay to take care of the whole thing. And I haven't really been miyushiv the whole night. And as soon as I get up, I grab my couple shvarim, which Baruch Hashem, during the day of learning, I had time to prepare and look up different things. And on my way running out, my daughter made a comment, like, you didn't even settle down. I said, no, I gotta go to shiur. Oh, okay. Like, it was... Now, I could come here now, and we could talk jokes for an hour, and we could read the comic books. My children at home think I'm being much in everything learning. Well, well, whatever. My daughters already did that once. They came with me to the seminary to see what I was saying over there. They did that once. But the Maisa, I saw. Now, I could go tell them over what I said tonight, but that's not going to have the same impression as when they see yawning, rubbing your eyes, trying to get up. I've been up since 5:30 in the morning. And now it's 9:00 at night, and you're running out of the house with your sefer to go learn, to go to your seder. It makes an impression. It's a powerful impression.
The moral of the story.
But you're losing out because you're sleeping. So what should you do? That was the shaila that they asked to be exhausted. No, what would you pass?
Would I pass?
Yes. What would you pass? See, he did it smart. Should I tell you why he did it smart? His kids don't know he went to a business meeting. They think he came to shiur. So he accomplished everything. He didn't even have to show up. See that? Because his kids are going to sleep thinking, my Abba is my Senevish Vidaira. It's a great move, what he did.
Yeah, but in essence, he's sacrificing his learning.
That's what he's doing. This is Gemara and Kedushin.
But it'll come to the point. The thing is, to me, he's setting a phony example. In other words, the kids think, oh, Abba Tati is going to shiur.
But then,
if something comes up in discussion, and they say to the, oh, I heard that this is what you shiur, what, and you can't answer them, what you doing shiur? But if you get up in the morning.
Proof of care, they can say, wow, he even could fall asleep in the shiur, he's so exhausted. So Mela, why doesn't he just stay home? Oh, because you gotta go because of the part of the time that I'm awake. Oh, that's amazing, Monsieur Nevis.
But I still think if he goes in the morning, the kids eventually find out that he's getting up early and that he wants to have his head clear and to learn before.
Assuming they never find out.
Even if he doesn't fall asleep, at the end of the day, with the work on your mind, I mean, this is my experience. And at the end of the day, with the work on the mind, there's sometimes, number one, he may not go to the shiur. Number two, even if he doesn't fall asleep, his head is not into the shiur. So he's teaching the children, but he's not learning anything. If you go in the morning, I still think the kids would find out.
All right, so it could be, but obviously we're talking in a situation where they're not going to find out, and the question is what to do. So if Yitzhak Zilberstein told the Magid Shir, go tell that guy that he should do both. Which is obvious, the answer. Do both.
Go in the morning and go at night.
Do both.
That's
good. Go learn in the morning. At night, come to sleep. Go to the meeting. But the children think you ran out. And then we see from there the concept. So we see from the Rabbi Zilberstein that Messiah's never for Torah, Chinuch Yelodim, is a tremendous chus. And you could be sitting and sleeping by Yashir, but because the fact that you went could merit having children that are Torah, Mabitze Torah, who knows what. So never think that, oh, I'm too tired, it doesn't pay to go. Punk for carrot. The tighter I am, the more I gotta go.
And if the kids are older,
yeah,
and grown, and you don't live near them or whatever, does it still affect?
What do you mean? You never have
No, when your kids are older.
They're never older. When you're 100 years and they're 80 years, you have to mechanech
them. Then they're old enough to know that you went in the morning rather than night.
You still have a mitzvah chinuch, that's the point. You always have the concept of chinuch.
They're getting up early in the morning.
If they're up in the morning, they see it. But the point is that chinuch never ends. Chinuch never ends. I told you I was by a Levi this week for Rav Avdin Germain. Until his dying breath, he was a mechanech.
The kids are not home. They were married. They were wives. So he went at night and shear. They don't know if he went at night.
Wrong. Says Rav Avigdor Miller. You're so wrong. Rav Avigdor Miller says, when they call up and they say, hello, Ima. Yeah, how are you? Has everything great? The kids are good. The wife is good. Everything's great. Baruch Hashem. Oh, you know, it's Abadir. Let me just say hello to him. And Ima says, no, Abba's by his shear. Oh, says Rav Avigdor Miller. Wow, the palace you're going to have in the next world for that. It's amazing that the mother could say to this married child who's got teenagers of his own, that's chinuch. That's saying, what are you doing on the phone? You should be learning just like your old man is. That's tremendous koyach of chinuch. And therefore, you dive in for those opportunities that they'll call and they'll say, can I speak to daddy? Can I speak to Abba? No, he's by his shear. Oh, really? That's amazing. That's the best chinuch you could do. So even if they're not home, it happens on the floor. Avigdor Miller said it. And it's such a true example. Look, I come home now at night, and there's one or two calls to return. Unusual week. When they call up, where can I speak to Rabbi Goldstein, she calls, whatever it is, oh, he's in Beis Medrash. My kids feel good that they could say that over. It is a chinuch issue. It sends a message. They grew up knowing that, yeah, you got to be meisher nefesh for learning. It's amazing. You also score big hubby points with the wife because she sees that even though you're exhausted, the learning is very important to you. Because it's a win-win situation.
She knows that you go and fall asleep.
What?
Doesn't it take away from her meisher nefesh?
No, she doesn't know. Because
to let you learn if you're just going to go and fall asleep?
No, it's not that. You're learning when you can. If you fall asleep, you're putter. You're putter on that.
So in this case, this guy falls asleep every time.
Listen,
it takes away from her meisher
nefesh. He's smart. He doesn't have to tell his wife he falls asleep every time. You're allowed a life shown by this. One of the things you're allowed to be meshana from the emes.
But if you get up early learning in the house, then the kids would know.
That's right. Or Avigdor Miller used to always say, and all the Bali Musa say, make sure you learn in the house every single day. Every day there should be a few minutes where you sit down in front of the sink. Your children, your wife, everybody should see it.